Are we sure, and I mean really sure, that Omar Khan doesn't have some sort of outsized influence in the way the NFL draft works? Good morning to you. Good Saturday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is a special edition of Daily Shot of Steelers. Comes your way usually bright and early every weekday. I also offer daily shots of Penguins and Pirates in the same place that you found this. Right up and down day two of the draft, it almost felt like this thing was being scripted, meaning by Omar. Every position of need was filled by a player who appeared to be at least a reasonable facsimile of best player available at each given slot. Almost to the point that this was so predictable that it was boring. Meaning just from the Steelers' standpoint. When you start off yesterday, you get Troy Faoutanu, and you like what you get out of him as a tackle. There's a possibility even that he could end up being one of the better of the six tackles that were taken in that range. You go into day two, not having a single center off the board yet. The Raiders go ahead and take Jackson Powers Johnson, a handful of picks in front of the Steelers, but then I didn't get the impression from absolutely anybody that Zach Frazier, their selection at 51 overall, wasn't their guy all along. He's got that scrappy edge to him. He's got that heart and soul feel, which we now almost reflexively say, oh, that's a Steelers type of player. Well, it actually is a Steelers type of player. Doesn't mean that there haven't been exceptions to it, certainly in recent years, but it's the way we've long thought of a Steelers type player. Frazier fits that profile. Faoutanu fits that profile. And then you get to the next pick, and you know me, I'm just going, come on, you got to take a wide receiver at some point. You can't keep going like this. If you're not going to get a wide receiver through a trade, you got to start piling them up here. And the next thing you know, they've got Roman Wilson out of Michigan. Now, I don't want to admit to you how early I thought that they should have considered Wilson an option, because I'll sound like a dummy. Let's just say that it was very high, very, very high. Really, really liked this kid, but more than anything else, loved the fit. He's got, how do you put this? Because I like Deontay Johnson. I'm not somebody who's just going to casually roll him under the bus now that he's playing for some other team. But there were things lacking from Deontay's game that Wilson has. So Wilson's going to be principally a guy who lines up in the slot. He's going to get open. He's going to be a good route runner. I don't know if he's going to be a Deontay-level route runner, but he is going to catch the football, unlike Deontay, for long stretches. And he is going to go forward with the football, unlike Deontay, about 99% of the time. And he's going to block, unlike Deontay. There's a real snarl to Wilson's game. Good stuff. Good stuff. So you think, all right, well, that's pretty complete, right? You know, that's a good night. And then in the third round, yet another position that I can't safely say that it's a position of need in 2024, if only because it's been a position of need every single year since Ryan Shazier's injury. And that, of course, is inside linebacker. They go get Peyton Wilson out of North Carolina State, who everyone, it seemed, agreed had fallen way too far by lasting into the third round and the 98th pick overall. That's impressive stuff. Now, does that mean he's going to go out there and, you know, bump Elandon Roberts out of there? No. Does that mean he's going to be any threat to Patrick Queen? No, of course not. He's somebody who can go out there and buy himself a role as a special teamer, but also learn, become better, learn from the veterans in your midst, and maybe, just maybe, at least begin to replenish some kind of depth at that position. And, you know, it's funny. I feel like I need to say this even though it's going to sound a little bit cynical on what should be a really celebratory occasion, I think, for everybody who follows this franchise, be mindful that you're always going to like a draft, especially as it's happening, when boxes are getting checked, when areas of need appear to be getting addressed. That's why you hear from the Steelers themselves year after year after year that they would rather take care of that sort of thing through free agency or trades so that they don't have to go into the draft taking that approach. I'm not saying that that's how they've structured their selection so far. I am saying that it can skew reality at times. I'm going to bet that a lot of people right now are just happy that, okay, there's a center. Whew. There's a wide receiver. Oh, thank God. And that sort of thing. Will they have actually gotten the best players? Well, have they gotten the deepest, richest, most potential-filled class? That's going to take years to determine. But I just want to throw that in there as a little bit of an asterisk. When we come back, J1Q. Today's J1Q comes from Charles, who says, DK, I hope all is well. I am super excited about this draft so far. It almost seems too good to be true. However, I have concerns. I'm aware that the Steelers brass has said they wouldn't pick players if they were worried about injury. But to be honest with you, I'm worried. Three of the four players drafted so far have had some kind of serious injury in their history. Is it possible that the reason that all of these, quote, good players, end quote, fell to us because the rest of the NFL is afraid to touch the proverbial damaged goods? For anybody who doesn't know what Charles is referencing, Troy Fautanu had a knee injury that he completely, not just downplayed, but dismissed, described it as something years ago that hasn't affected him at all. Zach Frazier broke his leg very visibly in a West Virginia game against Baylor and famously and impressively tried to crawl off the field because it was late in the game and he didn't want the Mountaineers to have to burn a timeout. Like, dude, wow. Like, seriously? That's something. And then out of the two Wilsons, who were the last two picks, Roman Wilson, the wide receiver, Peyton Wilson, the linebacker, the latter was reported last night to be playing without an ACL. I didn't know you could do that. After a lifetime in covering sports, that one was a fresh development for me. But in spite of that, Wilson didn't show any signs of losing speed, strength, or anything else. Now, it's going to take some time to try to really dig into this specific scenario and see what it might mean to his longer-term future. But here again, the Steelers swore up, down, and sideways, in this case, Terrell Austin, that the kid's fine. But to your question, are they taking gambles that other teams might not? Yeah. Do they trust their own assessments of a player's health more than other things they might hear or read or learn otherwise? That's an emphatic yes. That's a subject that gets a real rise out of both Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin, and did again when it was brought up regarding Fautanu this week. And you want to know something? The precedent is on their side, at least for now. You might recall that Darnell Washington falling the way he did as a grossly oversized tight end was tied almost entirely to his own injury, and teams were afraid of it, and teams stayed away. The Steelers didn't. Now, maybe to some extent, they see that there's a risk-reward factor in taking such an approach that, look, we wanted to think big here, so we thought, hey, if Darnell Washington comes in and becomes everything that he can be, that's worth us taking some go-for-broke approach to the selection. But that's not the impression I get from the Steelers either. They just trust their medical people. They trust their ability to evaluate whether or not someone can perform and perform over a long term. And look, if they're right, wow, that would be pretty impressive. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Steelers on this Saturday. We're going to have another one tomorrow on Sunday to round out the 2024 NFL draft class. Thanks so much for listening.